This episode of Stars and Characters is brought to you in part by Star Wars Crucible, the audiobook available from audible.com. Star Wars Crucible is the brand new adventure novel featuring Han Solo, Leia Organa Solo, and Luke Skywalker. You can download Crucible for free or any one of the other Star Wars titles audible.com carries by visiting audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
What made Newt Gunray?
Oh, Christ.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Kleeg Lars. That's all Stan. Kleeg Lars.
Still funny.
Kleeg Lars appears in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Are you expecting this episode to be short? Is that why you're talking so slow?
No, the wife was on my shoulder saying something. I couldn't even hear.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, dear. All right, my name. These names are really out there.
Okay.
All right, ready? My name is Crystal Moon. Crystal Moon.
What's that from?
It is a restaurant that opened up in the spaceport of Mos Eisley after Jabba died.
Yeah, isn't that Malakali's restaurant?
Yeah, that's the Rancor Keeper's restaurant.
Crystal Moon.
Yep.
As Chris always says. I didn't change the spelling or anything because it sounds like Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for that lesson in phonetics.
Today I am joined by Matta.
What? I'm waiting for the rest of it. Is that it?
That's it. Matta.
What is that?
That's a female slave who's a friend of Shmi.
Oh.
So Handmaiden Matt and Matta, two women so far for the run of the series.
Wikipedia. What are yours, Dave? Ready?
That's a real name, Matta?
Yeah, M-A-T-T-A.
And
yeah.
Where is this?
Wikipedia?
She's not in a movie, though.
I doubt it.
You were right when you said these were out there.
These are gone. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
To my right, Dito Dave.
What is that?
It is a male Rodian missing two fingers.
No!
Yeah? Dito and his, I guess, how many fingers do they have, Greedo people?
Greedo people. I mean, Rodians? You just said it.
And Tac-Tac Tim.
What's a Tac-Tac?
Tac-Tac is a member of the Jedi Order. Duh.
Okay. Is he someone that was in one of the movies?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's
your job, to do research and tell us about these guys.
All right. The next episode, Tac-Tac.
I'm already bored with that
Tac-Tac,
one.
Tac-Tac Tim Tac. Give a dog a bone. Who is? Give us some facts about Kleeg Lars.
It wasn't even that funny, but it was.
This guy gets half off at the shoe store.
Aww.
That is true, I guess.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I only need one. Go ahead, Tim.
All right. Well, Kleeg Lars, as we see in Star Wars Episode 2, he is the father of Owen Lars, Uncle Owen, as we've come to know him in the original Star Wars film. But he is a widower of Shmi Skywalker, Anakin's mother, so he is Anakin's stepfather, and he is the son of Greta and Leff Lars.
How about right? Right Lars? Left Lars? Who'd you say?
It's funny. I looked on Wikipedia to find out some information on Greta and Leff, and it says is just one sentence. The father and mother of Kleeg Lars, and that's it. There's zero information on his parents.
Why bother creating the parents and naming them?
Exactly. There is no information. Actually, the Kleeg Lars entry there on the Wikipedia is actually quite short. It's the shortest one I've seen so far.
And that's anyway. All. That's trivia.
And that's it.
He's in the movie quite a bit.
He is. Yes. He actually has a pretty good sized role in episode 2.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, I'm looking at some of our other characters. He's got a hell of a, he's in a lot more than Yaddle, IG-88, yeah. Senator Greblips, just to name a couple, and he's got a short entry in Wikipedia? That's something that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. The funniest thing is he's got such a short entry, but he does more than that entire Evan Peele entry from the last episode.
Are you saying he only does like half the work because he's only
half he's half the man he used to be?
Wouldn't that be funny if in a deleted scene there was like in the background like a closet full of like one shoe?
It's only the left shoe.
Yeah,
that's it. The man one left shoe.
Oh,
oh. Klieg's left foot.
Oh. Anyway, okay, Klieg. He was born on Tatooine, and he was born to a moisture farmer. His father's name was Lef Lars. And as a youth, like Luke, he dreamed of leaving Tatooine. Eventually he rebelled against his father and the whole moisture farming industry, I guess. And he ran off, to another planet. He ran off to a core world known as Ator. No.
Huh?
Ator is what, that's a good name for Matt next episode.
Yeah,
Ator.
That's much better than.
There we go.
Whatever that was. I don't even remember what it was already.
Ator.
But anyway, Ator is actually almost the same exact type planet as Coruscant. It is, what is it? An ecumenopolis is how they describe this, or ecumenopolis. They do not have pronunciation keys on any of these sites, and he's an ecumenopolis. Which means the entire surface of the planet is covered by one single city, the same as Coruscant. I think Ator was a smaller planet than Coruscant. Anyway,
but anybody that's ever on Tatooine always just dreams of not being there. So that's
apparently,
is they just want to get out of Dodge.
Are humanoids indigenous to Tatooine? I mean, it seems like quite a few are born there. Well, I guess Luke wasn't born there though; he was only raised there.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I mean it just seems like humanoids have developed across the entire galaxy. So
yeah,
I think
okay.
But I don't know where they originated from in the Star Wars universe. I don't know if they it seems like half the humans are Corellian, so maybe Corellia was the seed of civilization or the birth of civilization.
I wonder what brings anybody to Tatooine? Because it doesn't seem like there's anything there for anybody. Humans, now I could probably see are brought there as slaves.
A nice tan.
Yes.
A nice tan. Okay.
A nice tan.
So, but what brings Hutts there? Why do they leave Nal Hutta and go to this desert planet? You think that would be one of the last places one of those slimy guys want to go? I mean, I know this is not a Tatooine discussion, but these ideas are just popping in my head.
No, that's a good idea. It's a good thought. Maybe because
I'm sober tonight. Look what happens.
Maybe because it is so pathetic. It's easy for them to take over and gain control.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's an outer rim planet. It's lawless. There's very little regulation than the regulation they.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
You're right.
I think they create the laws themselves, so they are the rulers. Even if it is a desolate planet, they're still. The big cheese.
Right.
Tim, just tell us how he lost the leg.
We know how he lost the leg. That was in the movie.
Yeah.
I want to hear Tim say it.
Anyway, we're good.
Well, he's right. The humans are really like the minority on Tatooine. Like most ego in
America, it seems
there's really no other humans there except for a spotted few like Bo Sheck and some of these guys who are really just kind of passing through the spaceport. But as far as people that live there, you got these suckers out on the, you know, on the desert.
In terms of an intelligent species, I think the only intelligent species that I know of that seems like they would be indigenous to Tatooine. Actually, two, I think, the Tusken Raiders and the Jawas, I think, are both originate on Tatooine. I think it's been said that Coruscant possibly may be the center or the birth of the human race. So that was one of the things that came up upon while doing some research here. Well, when Klieg was on this planet Ator, he met his first wife. Her name is Aika, A-I-K-A. Hmm. And there is, again, zero information on this person.
Not even, like, how they came to be. I mean,
there's nothing about how they met. All that says that he married his first wife, Aika, while on Ator, and she gave birth to his son, Owen. And then while Owen was a very young child, Aika died. And it did not give any information on how she died.
And he moved back to Tatooine with his son.
Yes, at that point, he was pretty much devastated by the death of his wife. And so he returns to Tatooine. He patches things up with his family, with his father. And he actually takes over the moisture farm business there on Tatooine.
I'm like, as you read this, like I kind of already like this guy. And as Chris you're reading, doesn't. Well,
Chris says I'm not against the poor guy.
As you're reading this, I'm feeling more and more in his corner. Like this is just adding to my not admiration, but the how much I like this character. So go ahead, Tim. I'm enjoying this so far.
Yeah, I mean he's a relatable character. I mean he really is kind of a blue collar everyman. It sort of seems.
Yeah.
One thing I read is he gets up front in line in roller coasters.
Not in Florida. They made all those lines accessible now.
While, you know, he comes back to Tatooine, and while he's on Tatooine, he, as a moisture farmer, he has dealings with other merchants throughout the planet. And one of the merchants that he comes in contact with is Watto.
Of course.
Now, he eventually meets Watto, and while meeting Watto, he went there to purchase some parts for one of his land speeders, and he met Shmi, who it was Watto's slave at the time. And he took a liking to Shmi. He thought that she was kind of a pretty cool chick. And, you know, when you're on Tatooine, Shmi's a pretty sexy chippy compared to...
Your choices are pretty limited. Yeah. Pretty much she was in his age range and a human.
Yeah. There's no Greta.
Yeah.
Well, why? I thought this too when I was watching these scenes. Like, what need does he have for a slave anyway?
Who? Watto?
Get around.
No, Klieg Lars. Oh, Klieg. Like he buys her from Watto. What does he need her for? I mean, did Uncle Owen have a slave? And I guess the answer to that is Luke.
I thought he bought her because he fell in love with her. I didn't think he bought her to have her. I thought he bought her to free her.
Yeah, he was going back to Watto's shop, and during his interactions while shopping at the Watto Emporium, he sort of the two of them started a nice rapport, and he started to fall in love with this poor little slave lady. And he actually approached Watto several times about purchasing Shmi to free her. He wanted to purchase her to get him out from under Watto's ownership so that he would have the freedom to free her, and then they would be married and live happily ever after.
And that's all stuff that, see, I was never under that impression.
Man, the romance in your life died a long time ago, didn't it, Dave?
I was under the impression that this was a case of him needing a slave, buying her, and as she... you know, worked on the moisture farm, he fell in love with her.
Wow.
And then freed her and married her. That's not the way that this went down, because I never got this impression that
for all the story problems in the prequel, I always thought this was pretty clear.
No, I never thought that till you just said that.
Huh.
I can kind of understand where Dave's coming from, because when Watto explains it in his, what, two sentences, he basically says, you know, he sold her. And believe it or not, this guy, he freed her and then he married her.
Yeah.
So the way that Watto tells the story, it does kind of seem like it was initially a business transaction that turned into a personal romance bloom. But
I see what you guys are saying, but I must have made the conclusion in my head this was all one action. He bought her, freed her right then and there, and then they got married because they had been slowly falling in love before the purchase, I guess. Maybe I filled that gap in.
The way that the actual EU story goes, it does fall more in line with Matt's thinking, because the way it is, he goes back to Watto. He's courting her while she is still owned by Watto. and Watto will not sell her outright to Klieg. So Klieg actually, he and Owen sort of team up to sort of trick Watto into selling her or into trading her, where Klieg owned this, I guess he owned this really nice spaceship that it needed some sort of expensive part. So what he did, he actually owned this expensive part. So he actually had Owen go to Watto's thing, not introducing himself as Klieg's son. It's kind of a confusing story. He had this ship and he says he wants to trade this ship and he needs this part. And Watto knows that Klieg has this part. So he goes to Klieg. He offers Klieg a trade. He'll trade him Shmi for the part. So Klieg trades her the part.
Owen sold him the ship, sans the part, and Klieg just held on to the part so that he'd have leverage over Watto.
Yeah, and then Watto needed that part, so he trades Shmi for this part, and then he sells the part to Owen. So it's sort of a roundabout way of purchasing.
I see. Okay, I like that. Well, Watto is a pretty terrible businessman. He gets scammed by just about everybody, doesn't he?
Seriously. I do like that. Like you said, that's a pretty clever backstory. Whoever came up with that, I don't know if that was in a book or something, but I still think that's all bullcrap. I mean, no, I like the story. I think it is. It's a pretty good backstory for this guy.
You'd like to think of him as Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings.
Exactly. I even wrote that down. It's like he's the Thomas Jefferson of Star Wars.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Roll on Broadway and My Left Foot.
Oh.
Matter he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that joke's already been done.
Can we done? This is fucking boring.
No, it's not.
It's not. This isn't no Evan Peel.
Yeah. So over time, you know, he frees her. They get married, you know, and they spend about 5 years together. And about a month before the events in episode two is when Shmi actually goes out to some outlying moisture vaporate. Those things out there, the big tall things that you see in the movies.
He can do it. Come on.
Vaporizers or whatever they're called. And she's actually going out to harvest a type of mushroom that grows out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was out here that the special mushrooms. It was out here that the Tusken Raiders fell upon her and took her captive.
Yeah, that's a movie. He says she's picking mushrooms that grow on the vaporators.
So like, oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he said he's when he meets Anakin, and he's very, very matter of fact. He kind of shakes his hand, and I always kind of like those scenes between them. There's not a whole lot to them, but I like this character.
Me too. Yeah. And for the short amount he's in, he's very relatable.
Oh yeah, and he tells him he's like, we got a lot to talk about. He's like, let's go in and sit down. They sit down at the same damn table from episode four, which I always loved. And yeah, he says she went to pick mushrooms that grow on the evaporators. He said she liked to pick the mushrooms that grow on the evaporators. It's okay. Like they were very happy.
Yeah, but when Anakin brings her back in that duffel bag blanket,
yeah,
you see no remorse.
Well, I thought about that too. He kind of just like looks at him as he walks by.
Yeah, I would have been like, I would have fucking stood up.
Well, I don't know. If you think about it, he goes out there. This is where he goes out to try to rescue her. They get 30 guys together to go out there to find these Tusken Raiders. I don't know how they figured out it was Tusken Raiders, but they somehow figure out where the Tusken Raiders were. And they went there. 30 guys go out. I think they said four come back. And he's one of the four. And he lost his leg in these fights with the Tusken Raiders. And this is where we see Anakin arrive. You know, a little bit after that, he's already resigned himself to the fact that Shmi is dead.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think this is just closure.
He's already in his grieving period. And when Anakin comes back, I mean, Anakin gives him that look like, you asshole, she wasn't dead. And Klieg, I think, is just like, yeah, he finally gets it. It's like, well, she may not have been dead 10 minutes ago, but she's dead now. And I've already hit that point. So he's been in grieving. So just to have the body there, I think may have been some sort of relief for him that he didn't need to bust out, you know, shedding huge tears at the sight of his duffel bag wrapped wife.
And it's the second one he's been through anyway. So
yeah, he's getting used to it. Yeah. It's old ham. Next. He's an old hand with that.
Next. Yeah. He's looking at Padme going, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's the way I took it too. He does say 30 went out and 4 came back, and but he's sure she's already dead. Now he's wrong, but like you said, she might as well not already be dead. But then he says too, he's not really going to give up. He said he's going to go back out once his leg heals. He right. says that in the movie to him. I love this guy.
Hmm.
He's like, the whole time he's hurt like emotionally. And like, you know, just like concerned about the whole situation. And he's very respectful to Anakin. And I think that Anakin respects them, too, because he even says when he goes out to look for it, he tells Padme, like, to stay behind. And he says these are good people.
Mm-hmm.
These people helped to bring happiness to his to his mother, who was a slave. And this man freed her, and she fell in love with him and him and her. And she had another family to take care of. She had little Owen, who was, you know, I don't know how old Owen is in this movie. I don't know. So Owen was probably a late teenager when she sort of moved in. So she had this little young adult and his chippy girlfriend, Beru, hanging out. I don't know if she lived there at that point either.
And but, I love how Owen, and I think I mentioned this either the last podcast or the podcast before, but I love how Owen aged like 50 years in the next 19 years.
It's rough out there in the
desert. I guess so, yeah.
Even the way I'm sure we'll do an Uncle Owen episode at one point. I don't want to talk much about him, but everybody.
Tim, that was a little too excited there, Tim. Oh, yeah.
Owen. Chris and I have stories to tell about Owen. We'll get to those.
Everybody is very, it's part respectful of Anakin, but I also think part fear.
Scared of him, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. this guy could kill us all, and you know, I'm his stepbrother or I'm his stepfather. I better play this right or, you know, I could be in trouble myself. You know, like they don't know how to handle it because they're hurt. They know they assume that he'll be hurt as well. It's like a delicate situation. But yeah, these scenes are Lucas gets a lot of crap for not having emotion with the actors and not being able to direct actors too much. But these scenes have a lot of emotion in them.
I thought at the burial that what he says to his wife was actually pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Where's the one leg joke there, Chris? I'm missing it.
I didn't even have
one. Oh, you don't have one? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I thought it was going to be a 1 foot in the grave joke there.
Oh. That one.
No, I agree with you guys there. I think, as I've said before, Episode 2 is my least favorite of all the Star Wars films, but I do like the Tatooine scenes. I even think that Hayden Christensen puts in a pretty good performance when his mother dies. I think that's his best acting performance of both movies, that one scene where his mom dies. I think he puts in a good job. So I think just about everything on Tatooine in Episode 2, to me, is like top notch.
As much as I hate and complain about how, you know, small the whole Star Wars galaxy is, and not even in the extended universe, even just in the movies, like, you know, I think we talked about the whole Chewbacca Yoda thing when we did Tarful. Of all the things I do hate where they have characters intertwined, this one I actually like, because you knew Uncle Owen had to be in the Skywalker family somehow, so bringing Shmi in as his stepmother. I really like this, is what I'm trying to say. I think of all the ones I hate, I want to take the time to point out saying I really like how this one ties the characters together.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought you guys would think I was crazy, but this is the point where I really started getting back into Star Wars as far as these prequels go.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a good explanation for something in the original trilogy, and that's what I was looking for.
It is. Yep.
Prequels. Mm-hmm. It's a good explanation. How did Uncle Owen become an uncle to Luke, or was it just a name, or did it mean something? And this is just really when Anakin starts getting dark, which is what I was looking for too.
Am I wrong? Were those scenes filmed in the same desert, the same location as Star Wars was, A New Hope?
Filmed in Tunisia, yes, but I don't think the hut, the Owen hut, the outside was in the same location as the one that we saw in A New Hope.
Isn't there a website or something going on to save the Lars Hope?
Yeah, there's a guy, his name's Mark Dermal out of the Netherlands, I believe. And there's a website, it's called Save the Lars Homestead, and he was putting together a putting together a team to go out there to the Tunisian desert to restore for, I guess, for future fans to go out to of the episode two hut for the Lars homestead. The episode one has long since been destroyed over time.
The episode four one, you mean?
I'm sorry, the episode four
one. I'm just making sure, yeah.
Sorry. Yes, the episode four one has no longer exists in any form. There's probably shreds of it somewhere, pieces in small collections of people who managed to get there, but the episode two one still stands in sort of a decrepit sort of state. I thought it was kind of neat. And this Mark Domo guy is a pretty interesting guy in the interviews I've heard with him. Yep. Anyway,
those scenes are great. Like just in the whole Tusken Raider scene that happens afterwards, like I've never been in Hayden Christensen hater, like a lot of people are, but I love those scenes because it's one of the major cruxes of his development, his inability to save his mother.
That is the first nail in the coffin almost is the one, all those scenes. And I just watched it on Blu-ray. I could be wrong. I was mad when this movie came out and the Tusken Raiders, and it came out of the tent and he slaughtered the first one.
Mm.
Didn't they cut it out before he actually hit him?
No.
In the original release?
Yeah.
No.
On Blu-ray, you see his whole head and...
Yeah. And on DVD.
All right.
When they did that edited version for IMAX, because they cut the IMAX version down by about 20 minutes. So things here and there may have been cutouts, but I don't remember if that was one of the things. I remember the IMAX just had certain things cut out, but that may or may not have been one of the things that they shortened the scene down on.
I just love those scenes. And like Tim said, I think it's, I don't know, I think the guy gets a bad rap. I'm not going to sit here and say he's fantastic, but...
What did you say?
you're wrong. I'm going to sit here and say you're completely wrong, Dave.
I'm standing by the guy. I think that he can do some things and doesn't get credit for being able to do anything. Nope.
he was cursed with bad dialogue and bad character direction.
Yes.
On the Naboo scenes, and that sort of sealed his fate for the rest of that movie and going into episode three, I think. But I do think that his scenes on Tatooine, I think, are solid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. him rolling down the hill with Natalie Portman and giggling is stupid. But him...
There you go. That's the best. You know,
him screaming to her afterwards, they were like animals, and I slaughtered the lame animals. I hate them! You know, I love that stuff. I think he can do that stuff. He's an angsty teenager.
Wrong.
Yeah, he's very emo in episode two.
Yeah,
it's unfair.
They could have hired Emo Phillips, and I would have been happier with the performance.
They're like animals. I slaughtered them like animals.
All right.
That's all the information I have on Klieg. The only other stuff
we're talking
I have
about Klieg. Shit, I thought we were talking about Owen and then Shmi and then Anakin. I got totally lost.
The only other information I have is some behind the scenes information. The actor who played him is an actor by the name of Jack Thompson. He's an Australian actor, and he has a crap load of film roles and some prominent ones. I don't remember him in anything. I've seen some of the movies, like he's Australia, The Good German, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Broken Arrow. He's been in. I don't remember him in any of these movies. The only movie I remember him in was the straight to video Marvel Studios production of Man Thing that I rented at Block. And that's a god awful, horrible movie. It's not even worth remembering, but I do remember it, and I remember him in that.
So he's a character actor.
Pretty much, yes. Yep.
Have you got him?
No, he has never done a convention in the United States, at least. I've never seen his name show up on any convention in the United States or Europe. Mm-hmm. He may have done something out. He may have done conventions out in Australia, but I'm not sure. He's kind of an interesting dude. Apparently, for an extended period of time, with his current life, he lived with his current wife, I should say.
Wait a minute. He's reincarnated? What are you talking about?
He lived a menage a trois sort of love situation with his current wife and her sister.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a pretty swinging dude.
Swinging.
He's one hip cat.
Two sisters, you know. I don't know.
Kegel Lars.
Yeah. Woohoo. And I think this is the first person that we have done so far on our show that I could not find an action figure made for Klieg Lars. I do not think Klieg has had an action figure.
Wait, so I think wasn't this one is, for this Queen Jamilia, was there?
Ooh, I don't remember.
I don't think there
this
was.
This might be the second one there that has not been an action figure. That's
one out there.
For this guy?
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that he's floating in the chair was an obstacle as far as having...
Well, they get... I don't know. Elon sees Bagano comes with a whole bar.
But how would you stand him up?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not trying to be...
I know, I got you. Yeah.
He's in this floating wheelchair. Like, if a kid... Not that anyone that was buying that one is doing it for any other reason but to be a collector. But say somebody did want to do something with it. You take him out and you put him down and he just falls over.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hasbro probably looked at it and said, "What kid is going to want to play with this?" Because that's usually what Hasbro thinks about when they're making their figures. Is they think our kid's going to want it.
I doubt
collectors are one thing. Kids are the majority.
I think kids are the last thing on their mind when they make those figures.
Money first, everything else second.
I think Chris is the first thing on their mind.
Yeah,
Chris. I don't buy. I buy the original trilogy one. I don't buy this.
Okay. Do you guys notice that at that funeral, you know, they say their little words for her. Do you notice there's three tombstones there?
Yeah, it's the brothers and parents.
Okay.
Of Klieg.
Yeah, I think it's Uncle Owen's, or I'm sorry, Klieg's parents.
Wait, okay. Chris, how did you know that?
I don't know what.
He has the notes.
I got notes here.
Oh, that's how. I thought there's, okay.
No, I don't know. It didn't say on the tombstone or anything, but... On Wikipedia. Parents.
Because I saw that and until you mentioned these other people, I was like, who the hell else would be buried out there?
Yeah.
And then I also started to think, you know, what is to stop them from at one point making another version of this movie and digitally inserting those tombstones into episode 4 in the background somewhere?
Oh.
You know, because.
Chris, you actually like that idea?
That would be neat to see
God, yeah. You're such a fanboy.
Surprise.
They've kind of retconned the removal, or I should say the absence of headstones in episode 4, saying that Owen had them removed so Luke wouldn't ask questions. But I'm like, obviously Owen had to come from somewhere. You know, Owen had to have told him about his parents. Mm.
Sound like it, because every time Luke answers questions anything, he goes, "I told you to forget it," even though he didn't actually say that.
Go get to work.
There's a scene where there's a trap in the corner, and you see a leg hanging out of it.
All right, well,
that's mine.
That what you just said about the retconning as far as where those tombstones are is satisfying enough to me because wouldn't they still be there all those years later?
So I would think that they would still be buried. I don't think they were exhumed and moved elsewhere.
Right. It's like Poltergeist. Yeah. You only moved the headstones.
And that's all I got.
This guy was a pleasant surprise to me.
He was interesting.
I thought this was going to be another steaming turd. But
that's all rise for this episode.
I like this guy. He's one of my favorite prequel characters, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a stand-up guy.
Aww.
Yeah, zing.
Man, any cool website on him?
There's this odd one that I found. It was a quiz just about him. It's short.
Short is it?
It's one question. What is this guy's name?
It's I don't know, maybe 20 questions? And it's... I don't want to read them off because I'll give away half the questions. But I was like, wow, okay, someone actually made a quiz about Owen or Klieg Lars. So what's it at? It's at selectsmart.com. And then it's like a whole bunch of numbers and letters at the end. So I'll just post a link. But that was the, apart from any kind of rehashing of the Wikipedia site, this seemed to be the only thing I found that was Klieg Lars directly related that wasn't informational. So I was like, okay, I'll post this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm all into Klieg Lars now. I'm going to take the Klieg Lars challenge.
We're all fans of Klieg.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
Ready for some trivia?
I am ready for some trivia.
Yay, trivia.
All right. Going through the scores.
Oh, yeah. Do this slowly.
Well, you're not in first. I don't know why you're saying
I'm almost there. I know.
That's true.
Okay, it is quite a barn burner, I would call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tim has 7.
Cheater.
7.
Then Chris with 6.
Brilliant man.
Then Matt with 5.
Sexy.
And I'm with 3.
And the sex machine.
Yeah, you are.
Let the record show that I think I got the last 3 wrong. Last 3 in a row.
So Tim's in a bit of a slump, and you guys have capitalized a little. But,
I think the last one, Matt, I think, just I want to pull a summer school and pick C, and he was right.
It was two of them ago. I got the last one wrong. I think we all got our last one wrong. We made no progress last episode.
Right. Well, if you're listening to the show for the first time, this is Star Wars trivia, but we got to tell you, this is some hard-ass Star Wars trivia.
Hard.
But the way we do it is if you
trivia.
there's multiple choice available, and if the panelists can get it without the multiple choice, they get 2 points. If they get it with the multiple choice, they only get 1 point. So, Chris, are you ready?
Yes.
Your question is coming from the Revenge of the Sith era.
Oh boy.
And the question is this: What made Newt Gunray?
Oh Christ!
Feel that General Grievous would be unable to keep the Separatist leaders safe. What made Newt Gunray feel that General Grievous would be unable to keep the Separatist leaders safe?
Something in my throat there. Go, to give me the choices. I have no idea.
Okay, was it A, the Jedi were still on the loose? B, Chancellor Palpatine managed to escape his grip? C, General Grievous was just a droid? Or D, General Grievous had failed before?
What was the question again?
What made Newt Gunray feel that General Grievous would be unable to keep the Separatist leaders safe?
D.
D, General Grievous had failed before?
Sounds good to me.
That is incorrect.
Huh.
The answer was B, Chancellor Palpatine managed to escape his grip.
Next.
That's rough.
That's
a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah. So what you say is you gave up.
Yeah, I did.
Quitter.
You're not ashamed?
Not at all. I fell in the town.
Fell in the damn town.
All right, Tim.
All right.
Question is also from the Revenge of the Sith era.
Oh.
What did Chancellor Palpatine say when Mace Windu placed him under arrest?
Oh my God!
Is that your answer?
He's like, "Oh shit, the jig's up." I'm gonna need multiple choice.
Okay, what did Chancellor Palpatine say when Mace Windu placed him under arrest? Did he say A, "I control the courts"? B, "I will not give in to this"? C, "You can't arrest me. I am Chancellor"? Or D, "I am the Senate"?
I will say, I am the Senate.
Very nicely done, Tim.
Yay!
The only thing I could think of was him going, "Now."
That's what I was thinking too.
Now.
But I was like, "Now." I was like, that can't be the answer.
That's a horrible movie.
Well, Tim, you get the right.
Yay!
And since you use multiple choice, you only get 1 point. But
1 point.
Better than nothing. All right, Matt.
All right.
Your question is from the Return of the Jedi era.
All right.
Who was a spy sent into Jabba's palace by one of his rivals, Lady Valerian?
Oh, God.
Ooh.
This is a book question I know I've heard. But
it's got to be a book question. I have no idea who Lady Valerian is.
Oh, God. God, I'm thinking Mara Jade, but I don't know. Give me the multiple choice.
Okay, the multiple choice for the spy sent in by Lady Valerian is A, Droopy McCool, B, Ak Rev, C, Jaquil, or D, Hermy Odal.
Nope. Okay, it ain't Mara Jade. I'm going to stick with my summer school theory and go with C.
Do we remember who C is?
Nope, don't care.
Yeah, he's taking my way.
C is Jaquil. And it's
oh!
Wouldn't that be awesome if I ended up winning this just by guessing C on every question?
It's how do you spell his name? Jaquil?
I don't know if it's a male or female. It's J'QUILLE. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, I should say nicely done. Lucky guess. That means Matt's tied with Chris for second place.
All right.
Yes. All right, where am I going?
Matt. Oh, Jaquil. Okay.
Yeah, looks like a Tusk.
That's the guy that
Sam
Tim Dry. Yeah, I think that's the guy that Tim Dry played.
What's Jaquil?
Tim, you dry?
he kind of is this, looks like a platypus with tusks and
a Sasquatch
squinty
body.
Eyes. He was a former lover of Lady Valerian. He was the Whippid. Whip it good. So yes, I do know who this character is.
I read your question, Dave.
Yes.
And this is the funniest part of the podcast right now. Is this question.
Okay.
All right.
What era am I dealing with?
The Phantom Menace.
No good.
Woo. I'm going to mispronounce this word. Phalum Passets. Roam the Naboo swamps and family groups of what size? Phalum Passets. Phalum Passets.
What?
So this is, I have to say, the size of this creature.
Roam the Naboo swamps, and family groups of what size?
See, now the little bit I remember about the Phantom Menace is they're in that ship, and then there's some huge sea creature chasing them. And then as they're being chased by what they think is an enormous sea creature, an even bigger sea creature comes and eats the other one. So it's got to be one of those. So this thing must be enormous. But I'm gonna take the multiple choice.
Oh, thank you, Cody. These are fun. All right, ready?
Okay.
Is it A, two males, one female, and they're young? Okay. Is it B, one male, 4 to 7 females, and they're young? Is it C, one male, 3 females, and they're young? Or is it D, 2 males, 10 females, and they're young?
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty obvious now.
So when the last one will be 1 male, 5 females?
That's so funny.
Okay.
Are we talking about the Klieg Lars actor again? Or wait, what?
Yeah, this the Jack Thompson special question.
Ooh. I am going to put the summer school rule in effect.
Okay. Which is 1 male.
I don't care.
3 females. And they're young and a puppy.
I'm picturing Chainsaw taking his test at the end of Summer School, going, C.
Here
come on.
Comes C.
Aww.
Answer is B, dumbass. 1 male, 4 to 7 females, not 3, and they're young.
I love how it says 4 to 7.
Right.
So the most vague answer was the right one.
Yeah.
As few as 4, as many as 7.
Tim, do you know what a Phalum Passet or Phalum
Spell
Passet
it.
Is? Phalum Passets.
No. I do.
Phalum Passets.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They don't
swim at all.
Oh, those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they in the water at all?
Nope.
It looks kind of like those Eopy things that we see on Tatooine that Kister's riding on, but it looks more like. Like a, what the hell is that animal? Not a platypus. I just said platypus.
So this is a ground. This is a land animal.
Yeah, it's a four-legged thing. I think it's the thing that they strapped the generators on in the final fight.
Oh, okay.
It looks kind of like a hippo with long legs and a long neck.
Okay, so I didn't even have the right train of thought on this.
No,
you're
in the right part. Nope.
Yeah, you completely fucked that one up, dude. Sorry, just kidding.
I can't say that I'm too ashamed of myself because it is episode 1 that we're talking about.
And no one should ever have to watch that movie again.
Thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars and Character discussion about Klieg Lars. Let's all rise. Let's all stand. Play your one shoe.
Why do you pick on this guy so much? What did he do to you?
He's great.
He is great. He's good in soccer. Join us next time when we discuss Wilro Hood.
Yeah!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.